If someone is able to cross a personal boundary that you have and still be able to stay in your life without anything changing, then you never had a boundary to begin with. You just had a personal preference. The difference between having a preference and having a boundary is that when you have an actual healthy boundary, people cannot cross it. It's not optional. If you don't create healthy, firm boundaries within yourself and apply them consistently in your relationships, you're only going to attract people that specifically want to push those boundaries. You're only going to attract people that specifically want to manipulate others. You're only going to then overgive in your relationships and then feel resentful or sabotage your relationships because you're not getting what you want in return. I personally don't even have to set boundaries in my relationships because I created them within myself. Before, when I had weak boundaries and I wasn't really sure, that's when I attracted people who would constantly trigger me and constantly push past my boundaries. Now, I don't have to deal with that anymore because I have built my boundaries from inner strength. So in this video, I'm going to explain to you how to set healthy boundaries, and I'm going to give you personal examples and situations on how you can handle these things when they come up in day-to-day life. Because we can understand having boundaries, we can understand what we want and what we deserve, but unless we're actually practicing it in day-to-day life when the opportunities come, we're not actually building our self-worth. We're just being delusional and talking about how amazing we want our life to be, but we're not actually putting it into practice. So this is what it actually means to manifest what you want in your life. You're not just thinking about it, you're also aligning your actions and your behaviors with that. The first step to setting a boundary is to clarify your desire. What do you want out of this relationship? What is your end goal? Once you know what you want out of a relationship, you have to communicate these things and let the other person know what your expectations are. Most people are able to understand basic boundaries and basic self-respect. So if you have to continuously communicate basic self-respect boundaries, that's a sign that the person that you're dealing with is a red flag, and you need to focus on yourself and ask yourself why you allowed someone into your life that was so disrespectful to you. The first example I'm going to give you is a situation where I had to call out a friend of mine and communicate what was going wrong, and they actually took that into consideration, changed their behavior, and now our relationship is better because of it. I'm going to tell you how I handled this situation to actually lead to the result that I wanted. Because a lot of people, if they were put in the same situation, they would ultimately sabotage the relationship or possibly create a conflict that they wouldn't be able to come back from. So what happened to me is something that a lot of people experience, where maybe you have a friend or you have a romantic partner that you feel is not reciprocating your energy. You feel that you are giving them energy and putting in effort, and you're just not getting anything in return. If you have an unhealthy attachment, you're going to respond to the situation by either running away, ghosting the person, and trying to punish them for not reciprocating, or you're going to get really anxious and then continue to push and be passive aggressive and try to get something out of them, but you're not going to actually communicate what you want. The way that I dealt with this situation is by communicating from a place of desire. So the first step in setting boundaries, I told you, is clarifying what you want out of the situation. So in my situation, when I continued seeing the pattern of me constantly reaching out and trying to invest into the friendship and her not reciprocating it or only reciprocating a little bit but not really feeding back into the friendship, I felt triggered. I felt abandoned. I felt angry. And it would have been really easy for me to just ghost her or just not say anything and continue the cycle again. But I realized that I had to figure out what I wanted out of this relationship, and I had to communicate that if I wanted the situation to improve. So the way that I established this boundary with her is by simply communicating with her. I sent her a simple text saying, "Hi, I just wanted to let you know how much I appreciate our friendship, and I feel like I've been reaching out to you and trying to maintain that momentum, but I feel like I'm not getting that back in return, and I just wanted to know what's going on because I feel like we've been drifting apart, and I only want to put in energy into situations that are mutual." I wasn't blaming her. I wasn't accusing her of being a bad friend. I wasn't creating a problematic situation. I was simply noticing that I was triggered by something. I validated my own emotions, and then I communicated what I was feeling to her. Immediately, she had responded back telling me about a situation that was going on with her and why she wasn't able to show up and be a good friend to me, but she completely took accountability for her actions and she instantly changed her behavior. As soon as we had that conversation, I immediately saw a shift in the way that she was behaving. Because she's a good friend and because she cares about me and I care about her, we were able to have an honest conversation about what was wrong, and we were able to fix it and continue our friendship and actually be stronger, because now she knows in the future that this is something that's important to me, and she's gonna remember that, and it's gonna make our bond even stronger. The way that you don't want to handle these situations is by running away from it, trying to take away your attention and say, "Okay, well, I'm just gonna punish her and remove my attention because she's not being a good friend." It's really easy to go into that pattern. A lot of people think that ghosting people is setting a boundary, but the only situation in where ghosting someone is setting a boundary is when you genuinely see they are not aligned for you, they do not need to be in your life, and you want nothing more to do with them. That's when you block someone. That's when you ghost someone. Not when they do something that bothers you. That's when you're supposed to actually communicate how you're feeling. And then if they still don't respect how you feel after you've communicated, that's when you remove yourself from the situation. But you have to give people an opportunity to change by telling them how you feel. And then you also have to be very aware when you've already communicated several times and someone's still not changing. That's your signal to now remove yourself from the situation. If you've experienced something like this or anything else that I'm gonna talk about in this video, type yes in the comments so I know what you guys are going through and what I should keep talking about. Another situation in where I've had to set boundaries, and I'm sure a lot of you probably have struggled with this in the past, is with our parents. Our parents asking us for inconvenient favors, asking us to do inconvenient things, and basically making us feel guilty for the fact that maybe we're not doing as much as we should be. To give you a little bit of backstory on the way that I grew up, my household was very toxic. My mom and my dad were never married, and so I would split my time either living with my dad or living with my mom and my stepdad and my brother. When I was living with my mom, that childhood was chaotic, right? When I was living with my dad, it was a lot more peaceful because he has a lot more peaceful energy. My mom is a chaotic human. So throughout our whole childhood, it was filled with constant emergencies. There was never a second of peace. Everything was like a hectic rush to get things solved. There was never enough money. There was never enough time. There was never enough. There was never enough of anything. It was always a struggle. So my mom always played a victim to her situations, even though she was the one who created her situations. She was the one who created this marriage that caused her so much stress. She was the one who chose to do things in a way that then led her to be stressed. So she put herself in all these constant emergencies, and then she played the victim because of that. It was almost like her badge of honor. Like, because she was so miserable and she struggled so much and she worked so hard, that's what made her actually deserve to have money or deserve to have a family or deserve to be worthy of whatever it is that she thinks. To this day, I don't know what caused my mom to be that way, but because she was this way, that then made me feel like I always had to help others and I always had to take control of the situation and I always had to be the problem solver, because I couldn't necessarily rely on my mother to be that kind of peaceful, stable force. I sort of had to be that person for everyone else. And so it led to me becoming an adult and still feeling like I had to help my mom with everything, even though she's supposed to be the one that's helping me. I realized it got to the point where like my life was revolving around her issues, and I felt like I never got that full validation from her because, again, she would never really take my advice when doing things. But then when she had the problem because of her bad decisions, I would always have to be there to help her solve the problem, even though I told her it was going to be a problem in the first place. So you can see how this was like a stressful cycle for me that not only repeated with my mom, but it repeated a lot in my friendships until I realized that I didn't have to be the savior of everyone else. And I had to tell people no. No matter how much of a victim they created themselves to be, no matter how tough their situation is, I could not continue to inconvenience myself to help other people who, number one, were never going to change because they're always going to keep repeating those same patterns. And number two, they're not going to appreciate me for what I'm doing for them because this is their narrative. If it wasn't me coming to their rescue, it would be somebody else. And that's what I started realizing. The more I told my mom no to things, the more I stopped coming in to be her savior and just started focusing on myself, the more I realized that, wait, she still got her problem solved. She found someone else to help her with this problem. She still figured it out. So wait, she doesn't need me. I was putting myself in inconvenient situations for myself, but she didn't actually need me. I just thought she did. And that's why I continued to do whatever it is that I didn't want to do just because I thought I had to. I felt the obligation. So start by telling people no to things that you genuinely don't want to do. You do not owe anybody anything, even your own family. I know that sounds really harsh, and I know you want to stick to, oh, I just want to be a family person. Family is love. We have to sacrifice for each other. Yes, under normal circumstances in a healthy relationship where it's mutual, yes, you're going to have mutual sacrifices for each other. And now the relationship that I have with my mother and that I have with my girlfriends and all the people in my life, it's totally mutual. I never feel taken advantage of. I never feel like I have to save others and it's not being reciprocated because I set that boundary. People started realizing that they had to solve their own problems, and I'm still able to help them. They still ask me for things, but now I feel comfortable saying no and saying yes when I want to. So this doesn't mean that you have to tell everybody no to everything, but really tap into how you feel about things. And if you really don't want to do something, if it's really inconvenient for you, say no. Stop always being there for people all the time, especially people who are constantly negative and constantly a victim of their situations. These are people who are always going to be in that cycle. And if it's not you coming to the rescue, it will be somebody else. If you're still here, go ahead and type boundaries in the comment section so I know who's paying attention. Okay, moving on to our next story. This one goes back a little bit further. So flashback to when I was in high school. I just moved schools and I moved to the school where I actually graduated from and went to college in the same town. At this point, I started making friends and I had different friends, but this one specific friend group was like me and two other girls. They were basically one of my first friend groups that I had where I felt like it was just us three and we were like a trio and it was so fun. And at a certain point, I think like a fourth person came in that one of the girls had brought in, not me. I didn't really know her, but she seemed cool, whatever. At a certain point, I stopped getting invited to things. They were going to lunch without me. Like all of these things where I just was not being included anymore. And it all started when that fourth girl came in. But that totally threw off the vibe and I felt so excluded. And honestly, that was really hurtful to me. Like the fact that they never reached out to me and like they just abandoned me and like basically pretended I didn't exist. I remember one time one of the girls passed me in the hallway and was like, oh, I thought you moved schools. I'm like, what do you mean you thought I moved schools? You have my number, you have my Snapchat, you have my Instagram. You stopped inviting me to stuff. when did you think I moved schools? Like, I just thought that was so shady and so rude. And that was the one who had brought in the fourth member, which started the whole process of just them icing me out and just acting weird towards me. So fast forward, we're all adults. We all graduate high school. We're in college. And then I reconnect with one of the girls from that original group. From there, I didn't really hold any resentments, and she seemed to have been changed. She seemed to have been so much more mature and so much more aligned with who I was at the moment. So I was really happy to rekindle the friendship, because I still felt kind of weird from what had happened in high school and why she didn't also try to include me. They just all like excluded me and just let that happen. I just thought it was so weird. But again, I tried not to hold a grudge, which was my first big mistake, because I know it sounds petty to say like, oh, if they did that in high school, they'll do it to you again. Realistically, unless people have a dramatic life event, they tend to stay the same. So if someone was very clicky and rude and shady in high school, they probably continue that way as an adult, unless something happened that changed their perception on life. If they don't have that event, then they're just going to continue in their pattern. So that's what I thought had happened. I thought that she changed. But what I slowly realized was that once again, I felt like I was putting in so much energy and she was not reaching out to me anymore. She wasn't making plans with me anymore. She wasn't texting me to check in anymore. Like, it was always me doing it. And so the same thing that I did with the first example with my other friend who I reached out to her and I sent her a text, I did the same exact thing in this situation. I said, hey girl, like, I keep reaching out because I feel like we have a lot in common and I'm trying to build like a friendship with you. Let me know if that's something you're interested in. She responded right away, profusely apologizing and taking full accountability and saying that, yes, of course, she's just been traveling and been busy and like she hasn't been that consistent with any of her friends and she's gonna change. And in a couple days, she's gonna text me and we're gonna make plans and we're gonna hang out. All that, she said. Well, a week went by, 2 weeks went by. She never texted me. She never tried to make plans. She never reached out to say, hey, I'm busy, I can't hang out, but I just wanted to check in. Nothing. No communication. And so even though this didn't have the nice ending from the other examples that I told you where the person actually changed when I set the boundary, this person didn't change when I set the boundary, but they showed me their true colors. And that is just as valuable. When you set a boundary and you communicate and they tell you they hear you, they know it's something that is important to you, and they make you a direct promise, and then they don't follow through, and they don't communicate, and they don't say anything, they don't respect you. I don't care what's happening in her life. The fact that she doesn't have any anxiety or fear to hurt my feelings or to make me upset, that's how I know she does not care about me. In a healthy relationship, there's a certain level of healthy anxiety that you have where you don't want to like piss the other person off. You don't want to make them angry. Yeah, maybe you'll do certain things sometimes and you're like, hey, this is just what I want to do. I know they're not going to like it, but it is what it is. But those are the little things. You know the big things that are going to make them angry. And if they told you something that bothers them and you told them that, hey, you're right, I apologize and I'm gonna do better and I promise you I'm gonna text you in 2 days and we're gonna make plans to hang out. If it comes to the 2 days later and you realize you forgot to text them, you would feel a certain sense of fear. That's a healthy thing to feel, like, oh shoot, like I told someone I care about I'm gonna do something and I didn't do it, or I'm not able to do it. I feel a little bit nervous about that because I don't want to let them down. Let me communicate to them and make sure that they understand where I'm coming from, and hopefully it doesn't make them upset. That's a normal thing to feel. So the fact that she was not feeling any of that, she did not act on any of that, I have no idea if she forgot, if an emergency happened. I have no clue why that happened. But what I do know is she crossed the boundary, I communicated, she promised she would change, and she didn't change. So that's a clear sign that someone does not need to be in my life. And I've already made the decision that that's not a situation I'm going to entertain with her or with anyone else. And I encourage you to build your self-worth to the point where you're able to set these healthy boundaries. This is exactly what I work with people one-on-one to activate their self-worth to the point where they don't need to overthink these things anymore. They're only going to attract situations where people are reciprocating. They're going to easily get rid of any relationships that are one-sided because it cannot exist in your life. A one-sided relationship or a negative relationship simply cannot exist in my life because my self-worth is so high and my boundaries are so firm. I hope this video helped you. Send this video to your friend to help them set better boundaries in your life. Save this for later. Let me know in the comments what you think and what questions you have for my next video. I love you and I'll see you in the next one. Bye. Mwah.
Before we continue, I wanted to share my positive affirmations card deck. If you're interested in self-improvement, then these cards will beautifully add to your journey. Affirmations are an easy and effective way to overcome limiting beliefs and improve your emotions. By infusing these inspiring cards into your daily routine, you will instantly start manifesting more of what you want. Plus, these cards make the perfect gift that anyone will appreciate. Go to shopaffirmations.com to check them out.